seated. Please turn to your Bibles in 1 John, please. 1 John. I'd like to ask you a question, and I believe every one of you has an answer to this question. Might not be the same answer that your neighbor would give or somebody else in this fellowship might give, but I'm sure you all have an answer. And the question is, why do you come to fellowship? Why do you come to fellowship? I imagine there's many reasons why you come to fellowship. Why does somebody do attend a fellowship? And I thought I would make a little list here. I'm sure there's many more items I could add to it. But perhaps some people go to fellowship because of religious duty. They think it's their religious duty to go to fellowship. Maybe some people go to fellowship because there's no football game on yet. So, you know, hit fellowship and get back in time for the game. What about social reasons? I bet some people come to fellowship because of the wonderful social connections that they can have and have friends and this sort of thing. Or what about some people, I bet, come to fellowship because their spouse forces them to come. Now, I know some of you probably come, or people would go to a fellowship because of the great singing. Well, I thought we sounded pretty good today. Or perhaps you go to fellowship to fulfill a spiritual need. You have a hunger and you feel that you can have that spiritual need met at that fellowship. Maybe just curious, what's going to happen? What's going to happen at this fellowship? People have a curiosity. Maybe some people go to fellowship because it's great refreshments. Of course, I can understand that coming to our fellowship because the Barberas lay out a beautiful table of refreshments. Maybe some people come to fellowship because they're hedging their bets that maybe there is a God and His Word is true. So I better give it a couple hours a week just to make sure. So a lot of people have many reasons why they go to fellowship. And I'd like to tell you why I go to fellowship. And I've been going to fellowships for over 35 years now. And I bet many of you fall into this category as well. I go to fellowship, and I bet many of you go to fellowship, because someone spoke the words of life to you. Someone challenged you with the opportunity to learn about God and life that's available through a relationship with Him and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, that is true. Someone did speak the word to me. Someone challenged my hunger to know God. And I did go to fellowship, and I've been going ever since, and very thankful and blessed that there is a place where God's Word is taught, made available, that the love of God is in manifestation in the hearts of the people that attend. So I believe it's a great place to go. I believe it's a lifestyle that once you find out the great truth of God, His love, and what He's made available, that you learn there's a wonderful lifestyle. And in that lifestyle, we have heard the words of life. And that we have been transformed from death unto life. And isn't that what fellowship's all about? It's about learning and recognizing that Jesus Christ opened the door to an eternal relationship with God forever. And once we've realized this truth, now, because of this reality that we've seen in God's Word, this great, wonderful relationship that we can have with God for eternity, now we want to live this true lifestyle as a son of God with power, as God has desired us to live, and really desires for all men to live. For God wills that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And why does he want them to come to a knowledge of the truth? So that he can have a relationship with him, that he can walk with power, that he can know that he has eternal life, that he can serve within the body of Christ. That's the reason to know the great truth of his word. Not only to be saved, but come to that knowledge of the truth so that you can live this wonderful lifestyle. No greater lifestyle can a person live. And I tell you, regardless of race, color, creed, language, custom, background, whatever, there's no greater lifestyle to live than being born again of God's Spirit and then live with and for the Heavenly Father who has called us to his family. Can't beat it. There's nothing greater available. And how do we develop this lifestyle? Well, there's a little axiom that we've used and I've been sharing lately about receive, retain, release. How can you learn and live any kind of a lifestyle? Well, you've got to learn about it, you've got to receive it, then you've got to hold on to it, you've got to retain it, hear enough of it that you hold on to it and believe it, and then if you share it with others because you believe it's the right thing, then you're going to have a wonderful cycle within that lifestyle. It's a simple formula. But now for us who want to develop a dynamic lifestyle because we have Christ within and we've got a knowledge of the truth, a wonderful access to God's Word, we want to continue to grow. We want to continue to live for our Heavenly Father who gave His Son. So in 1 John, I trust you're there, in 1 John, let's look at chapter 5. This is almost the last verse, verse 20. And we know, not guess, not speculate, but we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him. That is true. And we are in him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's it, folks. That's it. Man, to come to an understanding and a knowledge of what life is all about, a relationship with God Almighty for eternity, knowing his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's other scriptures in here we've learned and continue to learn to solidify this truth in our minds. And some I'm going to quote to you. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus Christ said that. Search the scriptures. Got to make available God's word so that they can be searched, and they're going to teach the eternal life available through Jesus Christ. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ came that people could have life. Hey, people are walking dead, folks, until they're born again of God's Spirit. They don't have life. Body and soul is very temporal. It's just dust with a little air going in and out. Real life is the relationship with God, having eternal, that Holy Spirit eternal reality. We heard it in the manifestations. John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, or unto him, he was talking to an individual, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, does that mean that somebody could not believe in Buddha and have a relationship with God? Or they could believe in Muhammad and have a relationship with God and have access to him? Or anybody else on the face of the earth? Is this God's word true? Yeah. Search the scriptures. It doesn't teach Buddha. It doesn't teach Muhammad. It teaches the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. He didn't say he was a way or a truth or a life. He says he was it. And no man comes to the Father except by me. That's the truth of life, folks. The more we understand that and live that, then we're going to have the most dynamic lifestyle the world has ever seen. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, made whole. Isn't that something? That's it, folks. Jesus Christ. You here in this fellowship are hearing the words of life. I don't know what other folks are doing out there today. There's millions of people around. You know, there's probably 2 million people within a 20-mile radius. Well, we better say 40 miles, just to play it safe. I don't know what they're doing, if they're in a fellowship or not. But I tell you, you are right now in a fellowship, and I trust and I pray to God that I am teaching you the right word of God. I'm quoting scriptures. This is the truth. Where else would you want to be? To hear the words of life. Is there another fellowship doing that? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. But why not put ourselves in a position where we're going to hear the words of life, where the love of God is manifested? You know, if this is true, you'd think we would hang around each other for hours, day in and day out. Well, folks, it is true. Unfortunately, the lifestyle that the world has promulgated for hundreds of years, the adversary has so marshaled that it is such that when it comes to spiritual matters, oh, you need a few hours here, maybe another couple hours down the road, you know, in the middle of the week, and that's about all you need. God has designed a lifestyle day in and day out. Can you talk to your father while you're in the bathroom? Yes. Can you talk to him while you're fixing something? Yes. You can speak in tongues anytime you want, right? You can worship him perfectly. God has designed this lifestyle so you can have fellowship with him all the time. And you can have opportunity to fellowship with like-minded believers a lot as well. Receive, retain, release. We've been talking about it. And what's been my emphasis lately? Release. Release. We've heard a lot of God's word. We've got a lot housed in our minds, in the files of our minds. I believe it's now we need the opportunity to hold it forth. We need to take the opportunity to share it with others. You know, that's how life is going to work best for you. Successful living is receive, retain, release. I teach a class at a community college, not a community college, but it's a professional career college, and I teach a class for management where people can learn the best skills of being a successful manager. And there's a book that I share that's pretty well known. It's sold millions and millions and millions of copies. It's called The Three Secrets of a One-Minute Manager. And it's kind of interesting because this book's so successful, and what it teaches are these three secrets to be a successful manager. But you know, at the end of the book, it's a short little story book, very like a parable almost. But you know what it says at the end of that book? It says, once you've learned this, share it with others. Share it with others. If you've got something that's so valuable that works and helps you, why wouldn't you share it with others? And of course, when we're talking about the greatness of God's word, there's nothing greater that you will do. And you've heard me say this many times in the past. The greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is share the words of life with somebody and they believe it and get born again of God's Spirit. The greatest thing you'll do in your whole life will be that, to help somebody go from death unto eternal life. And all it takes is sharing the rightly divided word and somebody believing it. You could give millions of dollars away, build all these hospitals, But the greatest thing you'll ever do is to hold forth the words of life and people receive it and manifest it in their life. We're going to look at somebody, and you know, to learn something, many times you want to model after somebody else that's successful. So we're going to look at somebody that's pretty successful in the outreach category. And, you know, if we wanted to learn golf, who would you hang out with? Huh? Tiger Woods, a lot of you said. There's probably some other folks that people would like to hang out with. What about baseball? If you want to learn baseball, who would you hang out with? Tony Gwynn. Yeah. Okay. If you want to learn about computers, who would you like to hang out with? Bill Gates. Yeah. Why not? See? Well, we want to learn about holding forth God's word. So we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. Okay, let's go to Romans. Apostle Paul's got pretty good credentials. God inspired him, worked within him, to write the church epistles, some leadership epistles, and other things in the Bible. But let's go to Romans. And this is the first doctrinal epistle addressed to the church. This is the foundational things that God would have man to learn. As we know, God's word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction. This is for doctrine, right believing. And we're going to look at the beginning of this in Romans. All right, so chapter 1, verse 15. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. This is right in the beginning here where Paul is opening up. And he says, well, it's verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Okay, so right there we see a simple verse, I'm ready to preach the gospel, hold forth God's word. Now, it's just pretty simple, I'm ready. When we read that word, what do you think? Well, I'm ready. Okay, I'm going to the ball game. I got my clothes on, I'm ready to go. So I go to the ball game. I'm ready. The word ready here in the Greek is a word, Greek word prothumos, that has the definition of being on fire. On fire. I'm on fire. Okay? I'm hot. I'm ready to go. Like if I'm prothumos, ready, I'm going to the ball game. Not only got my clothes on, but I got my pom-poms and my, you know, noisemakers and all this other stuff, man, because I'm ready. I'm on fire. I want my team to win. And this is what Paul's saying. He's saying, so as much as in me is, and how much is in him? Christ in him, the hope of glory. He had the power of God in his life. He had a ministry. Man, oh man, I am on fire. I'm ready to go. To do what? To preach the gospel, the good news to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So what is the benefit of the gospel of God? Power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. It takes people from death unto life. Man, oh man. Now, there's another emphasis in here that I'd like to point out to you. The words in this verse 16, for I am not ashamed. There's a figure of speech called taponosis. I don't know if you've ever heard that figure of speech before, taponosis, but it's an interesting figure. It's using humbling words to describe a great event. Using humbling words to describe a great event. It's like this. Al's on the shore of the beach, and he sees someone drowning out there. Okay, so Al jumps in the water bust through the waves. It's big waves coming in. He swims out there to save this person. Of course, there's sharks coming around. He pushes them off left and right, grabs the person, comes on to shore, gives artificial respiration, and saves this person's life. And everybody's gathered around, and they're saying, "Oh my goodness, way to go, Al. You're so tremendous. It's so wonderful. Wow, what a brave guy." And Al gets up and says, "It wasn't nothing. Nothing. It weren't nothing." What is he doing? He's using humbling words to describe a very wonderful, dynamic event. And that's what he's saying here. "So as much as in me is, I am ready," on fire, we've read that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I mean, you know, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ" is a humbling word saying, hey, this is a big deal. This is an honor to share the great truth of God's word. Bullinger, who I believe is one of the great biblical scholars of all times, said this about this figure of speech. He translates it like this: "I count it my highest honor and glory to proclaim the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation." Boy, he counted my highest honor and glory. So, right here in the beginning, the opening of this doctrinal epistle, is Paul on fire? Is this a big deal to hold forth God's word? It sure is. It sure is, man. He's on fire. Well, let's go to Timothy. And this is at the end of Paul's life. 2 Timothy, this is a leadership epistle written to Timothy. Leadership can learn great from this. And we see that in 2 Timothy, the church is having some problems. And this is right at the end of his life. And God inspired him, told him to write these scriptures. The church is kind of going downhill. And so we see here in 2 Timothy, let's look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And this is in regard to Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, or the not fake, believing that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded in that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, this word "stir up" is another Greek word. It's not prothumos, but it's another Greek word that means to stir up the flames. In other words, you've got a fire going and it's kind of died down, and now you need to stir up the flames. Get that fire going again. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, I put thee in remembrance, thou stir up the gift of God. Now, Timothy probably had, he had a gift ministry, but he also had Christ in him. He had the same enablements that every believer has. Christ in him, the power of the Holy Spirit within. He's saying, stir up all that. Get on fire. You know, Paul was on fire, right? Get on fire here. Why? For God has not given us the spirit of fear. What holds back any person from going forward on anything? Fear. Least common denominator, fear. Don't want to go hold forth God's word? Why? Fear. Fear of being embarrassed or something. Whatever it is. That's what holds people back from doing anything, is fear. The adversary wants you to be fearful. But has God given us a spirit of fear? No. What has he given us? Power and of love and a sound mind. Wow. That's what we have. That's what he was reminding Timothy. Let's stir up that gift. Let's get on fire. Don't be afraid. Don't be a coward. You got power. You got the love of God. You've got a sound mind. Well, this whole section here is pretty dynamic. Paul teaching Timothy some great things about working the word and everything. Finally, in chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." I believe he is talking about not every person in the world that he's ministered to, but the leadership. He looked at the context. Pretty much at this time, the church was going downhill. They weren't holding on to the truths that they'd been taught. They had received some truths, but they weren't holding on to it. And they weren't holding it forth so others could move with the things of God. And so he makes this statement. Verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengtheneth me, that by me the preaching might be fully known." And this preaching is just holding forth the word, just speaking it out. It's not like some organized teaching that I'm doing here, but it's just talking the word. Holding it forth. See, that's where he was at. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." You know, God always was there to deliver him. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You speak for God, God's going to protect you. He will. He's going to watch over you. That's the promise in the word. You hold forth God's word, God's going to protect you. So there's nothing to be afraid of when it comes to holding forth God's word. You know, we need to release the word more and more. It's a big deal. The adversary's doing all he can to discourage us from speaking the word. Now, I'm not talking about going on the street corners and yelling out Bible scriptures and things like that. It needs to be done decently in order, okay? And in our culture, that doesn't get it, you know? It used to be in the old Bible times, you could talk about spiritual matters. It was a common thing. Get around the water cooler or the well, or whatever they had in those days, and talk about the things of God. Well, you're just going to have to maybe throw God in a little bit. Everybody's talking about football or baseball or politics or catastrophes. Talk about God a little bit. Just throw his name out. You know what we've been doing with the little card? You know, hand them a little card. Invite them to fellowship. That's what I do all the time. You know, I can't teach them right there, but if I can encourage them to come see, come to fellowship, they're going to see the love of God manifestation. They'll hear the word of God taught. It'll just be the greatest opportunity for them. You know, we just need to make it available. I was so blessed. Ken Fonda, who's our usher, we were getting, a few weeks ago, and he saw a gentleman walking down the street looking at the sign, and he went out and he said, "Hey, come on in and check it out." And the guy came on in, and he said, "No, speak English." And Ken says, "I don't speak Spanish." But thankfully, one of our believers that knows Spanish came right at the right time and spoke to him and everything, and he came in to fellowship. And guess what? He's here today as well, Prisciliano. Vargas, Mr. Vargas is here, okay? All that took was Ken, "Hey, come see, come on in." You know, guy didn't understand English, but come on in and see. And then God just opened doors and praise the Lord. Here he is. That's all it takes. That's all. And if Ken would have just saw him and just, you know, went his way, and that guy would have looked at, and then Prisciliano would have just walked on. Who knows? Who knows? Jeannie and I, in the mail, got an invitation to attend a a little get-together a couple blocks away for a council member. You know, there are big elections coming on, and there's all these candidates for city council. And there was a neighbor several blocks away that was hosting the one of the candidates. So we thought, well, we go witnessing. So we go over there and, walk in, and we couldn't find the place at first. We finally found it. We had to call him and got there, and he'd given his little speech. But it was good because we were able to talk to him face to face. And you know what I shared with him? I said, the main thing I'm interested in the candidate is they have integrity. You know, you say what you mean what you say. I said, are you a man of integrity? He said, yeah. And he asked me what I did. And I said, well, I'm a minister of the San Diego Biblical Studies Fellowship. And he says, I'm a lawyer for the Presbyterian such and such. And I'm a man of faith. And I said, well, are you born again of God's Spirit? Are you born again? And he said, yes. And we talked a little further, and he asked me if I'd pray for him and everything. I said, yeah. And I gave him a card and, put my name and phone number on there, and, who knows what's going to happen. But it's just making it available, And it's that simple, holding forth God's word. Well, let's close out here, Philippians 2, okay? I think this scripture here kind of says it all, wraps it all up. We want to continue to receive, retain, and release. And why do we go to fellowship? I trust we go to fellowship because that's where the Word of God is. That's where the love of God is. That's where people can hear the words of life. And that's why it's so important that we recognize the value of fellowship, because, we make that fellowship happen. We make that fellowship hot with the Bible, because what are we doing? We're inviting people to come to fellowship. And we want that fellowship to be wonderful and dynamic. Well, I think Philippians chapter 2 kind of says it all. Philippians 2 puts it all into perspective here. 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your love and grace that you've extended to us, this life, this eternal life, this life through Christ that we have now, Father. We are so, so grateful. And the more we learn about your love and through a knowledge of your word, we are just even more thankful. And Father, I pray that we can continue to grow and rise up and be those ministers of reconciliation and hold forth your word to each and every person we meet, Father. That we walk with you and we know that you can open doors for us and that you'll just give us the words to speak. And what an exciting lifestyle, Father, to have that as our goal of holding forth your word, bringing people to fellowship. So I'm sure thankful for the people here, for their wonderful hearts to walk with you and to just be their best for you, Father. So I just pray for the fellowships that we have here in the area, that the word continues to grow and be dynamic. And I pray for your people that they can continue to grow and hold forth your word as you would have them do. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All right.